Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Tippi Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, with confidence, control, and awareness. And now we're going to live with our inspirational moment, a new nugget on Tippi Talk, and you are experiencing the first nugget with me, Tippi Feldenstein, your host, and our guest for today, Moriah Webster. The second runner-up for Toastmaster competition, Moriah is joining us with an inspirational speech that he gave on that night. And you will love his speech, and you will love what he has to say. So stay tuned to be inspired and entertained. I'd like to welcome you, Moriah Webster, to Tippi Talk. Thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to our very first inspirational moment on Tippi Talk.
Thanks, Tippi. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. I know you just got home from work. You must be so hectic. I want you to know that I really, really appreciate it because it means so much for me. Your speech was amazing, as are you, and we're so lucky to have you here.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. And
so,
I'm looking forward to sharing the speech.
Yes, but before you share that speech, there's a few things that we want to know. Because when I looked at the agenda that we had, I looked for Moriah, which, by the way, I love your name, Wesley Webster, and I didn't see it, and I saw Wesley Webster, two W's. And So I'm assuming that your name was changed, and the name Moriah is a very exotic name. So tell me what happened to your name, because it sounds like an interesting story.
Yeah, sure. So, I was born with the name, or my parents gave me the name Wesley Webster, Wesley Barry Webster, to be exact. And, that was the name I primarily used for the larger part of my life. But I would say some years ago, back in 96, actually, I started studying Hebrew. And as I learned more Hebrew, I began to actually embrace Judaism and eventually converted to Judaism and changed my name from Wesley to Moriah. Now, prior to that journey into Judaism, I had been a pastor for some 10 years. But what I felt was very important as I was becoming Jewish was the fact that I was still a teacher of Bible, still a teacher of Torah, but myself was always committed to following the Creator himself, who I would call as Yah. So I wanted a name that really helped identify the fact that really I want to follow Yah, and if anything, when I teach people, I want them to follow Yah as well. So I wanted to say with my name that my teacher is Yah. So I found out that the word for teacher in Hebrew was moreh, and if I want to say my teacher, I say mori, and hence moriyah means my teacher is Yah. And that's really the message of my life, that I'm following Yah, and if I teach you anything, hopefully you will follow Yah as well.
See, I knew it was beautiful. Yes, moriyah, like two words, actually
yes.
Into one word. So do you say moriyah or do you say moriyah?
I say moriyah, yes, just like that.
Awesome. Very beautiful. So some people still call you Wesley. That's probably on your legal papers,
yes,
and
because,
all that.
That's still my legal name. And at work, I, you know, basically just use my legal name. But among friends, family, I always use my Hebrew name.
Yeah, it's really nice because I actually had to change my name a little bit, and I did have to go to court and make my name legal, Tippi, because my nickname was Tippi, always was, and when I wanted to make it legal, I went into court, and I couldn't believe how easy it is. All you go in is sign a paper, and that's it, done. It's very easy to do. But then you have to go through the process of doing your license, your passport, your this, your that, and that's a hassle. So
definitely
a hassle. So what brings you to Toastmasters to begin with?
So after leaving the ministry since 1996, I really did not have the normal outlet that I did to share the ideas and teachings that I have. And I've been active in a synagogue since the year 2000. I give maybe a Devar Torah maybe a couple of times a year at my synagogue. But I was really looking for an opportunity to be able to share my ideas a little bit broader. And so
can you explain Devar Torah? Because most of the people don't really know what it is.
Right. So essentially in a synagogue, what happens is that each week we read a specific portion of the Torah. Really, we read the Torah is the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. And what happens is it's divided into 54 pieces, one piece for each of the weeks in the longest year, because a Jewish year can have as many as 54 weeks in a leap year.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically there's these 54 portions. They're called parsha, parshiot is the plural. And every week we read at least one of those parshiot. And on any given week, the rabbi or someone would be chosen to give a word about this parsha, like what is the meaning of it? Or think of it more like a sermon in a way.
Okay.
But you really, the sermon is based
yeah,
off
I,
of that
yeah.
reading.
Right. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you said that you give the Devar Torah, and not too many people know what it is, so I wanted you to explain
yes,
that.
Yes.
Okay, so every week you would give the Devar Torah, and that was the only thing that you would give, and then what happened?
Right. So what I'm saying is that since I've been a member of a synagogue since the year 2000, I'm not the rabbi there, so I don't give a Devar Torah every week. My rabbi was maybe calling on me to give a Devar Torah maybe once or twice a year. So I joined Toastmasters to really have a better opportunity to share my ideas and to hopefully be an inspiration to others.
Wow, and how long have you been in Toastmasters?
Just about 2 years.
Oh, not too long, and you're already winning competitions all over the place.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is fun, isn't it? It's a lot of fun. So actually,
yeah.
We share second place to the first place winner, because I also came in second when I went up in a competition against him, so I was in the same place. But I don't think my speech was as inspirational as yours or his, but I tried. At least I tried. So the speech that you gave was called Pain Power. That was the title of the speech, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And basically, would it be the same like saying pain into power? Would that be the same meaning? Or
yeah, I think that's pain because at some point while I was giving the speech, I did probably say pain is power. So, yes, it's like saying pain is power in a way.
Right. That's
it's transforming pain into a power that we can use. That's really what I'm talking about.
Right, because you always have the choice. You have a choice of taking the pain and allowing it to destroy you. And what you're saying is that there is another option. You can use that pain to empower you. And that
yeah.
in itself is a very powerful idea, very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're ready to go, we're ready to listen to your speech called Pain Power. Love that title, too.
Okay, by sure thing.
Maria Webster.
Have you ever been disappointed, or have you ever failed at something you were trying? Sure you have. We all have. Take a moment. Try to remember the pain from that disappointment. That pain is real. Yes, it's tangible. You could feel it. And what I'd like to suggest is that that pain, just as real as it is, can also be used. Listeners in the radio audience, I want you to realize that pain, the pain we feel from disappointment, is a power that we can use to propel success. It's easy to let this energy, this pain, go to waste. Often when we're disappointed, we just take the pain, we feel the pain, we hurt, we ache. And then we move on in life. We don't realize that we're letting a power go by. But we can actually make something of that power. It's very similar to what we've learned in science when we were in school, where for every action, remember the laws of motion? Every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So it is with pain from disappointment, pain from failure. That is like the action. But if we harness it and channel it, we can turn that pain into a power that can propel us forward in a positive direction towards success. Let me share briefly a personal story that illustrates this point. When I was a freshman at university, I was among a group of 8 students who were being considered for an international opportunity. Yes, we were being considered to be sent to Haiti to help with a small fledgling congregation in that country. Now, I really thought that I was going to be one of the ones chosen for this opportunity, primarily because to go, you had to be able to speak French. And when the faculty member that introduced this opportunity to us brought up the opportunity, he said, "Listen, it's already too late to enroll in French this year. But if some of you would learn French, you'd be considered for this opportunity." And I said, "Yes, this is a great chance for me. This will propel me. This will help me actually in my path towards serving in the ministry." And so I was the one to organize this extracurricular French learning. I found someone who spoke fluent French. I got him to teach this small group of 8 students. And I just figured because I was the spearhead, I was the one really driving everything, that surely the faculty would consider me first. And then as we got into the second semester of the school year, I'm sitting there in the auditorium at assembly, and it was that day when they announced who would be going. And I heard them say, "Renard Edding." You know, I was happy for Renard. Yes. "Denise Brown." Yes. "Robert West." Uh-oh, what's going on here? "Jackie White." At that moment, I realized, wait, and then they began to clap and applaud. Selection was over, and that pain hit me. And I realized I wasn't chosen. I was passed over. And that pain was so real. But in that moment of pain, I realized I had a choice. I could either just let this pain go to waste, or I could turn it around, channel this pain, use this pain as power to propel my success. Pain power to to propel success. Yes, I saw power in pain. I saw the pain as a potential opportunity that can help me in the future. How would it work? I realized that I could now use this pain as sort of motivation. Instead of quitting learning French, I would now redouble my efforts. So I went to the person who was teaching. I said, I'm not stopping just because I wasn't chosen. I believe I can be chosen next year. Maybe not being chosen this year is a benefit. I'll know more French next year. So I continued studying extracurricular. When the next school year came, I signed up for French. And I was competing against kids who had taken 4 years of high school French. I didn't have 4 years of high school French. So there were many times when I felt like quitting because I wasn't as smart as they were in French. I wasn't able to keep up with them in French. But I would never quit because all I have to do is think back on that moment when I sat in the auditorium and felt the pain of disappointment. And that pain translated into power, power that enabled me to continue on against the odds, continue on where the struggle was difficult, to study harder, to study longer, and to really make a success of French. And sure enough, that methodology worked. And you know something? I realized over the years I wasn't the only one who learned how to use pain as power. I'm sure you are aware of Michael Jordan, perhaps the most successful basketball player there has ever been. He turned pain into power too. He went out for the varsity team his freshman year of high school, but he didn't make the team. I remember reading where he went, and he looked on the gym door. They had the names of everyone who made varsity, and his name wasn't there. He went home, and he cried about it. He felt the pain. But more importantly, he translated that pain into power. He worked harder at his game. He put more effort into his skill. He worked and worked until he became the greatest basketball player there ever has been. He made pain power that propelled his success. You see, it's not the fall, but it's the bounce that counts. Yes, everyone is going to fall in life. We're all going to go through disappointments. But the key is that when we're passed over in life, we shouldn't just wallow in the pain. We shouldn't just lie on the ground. We need to allow ourselves to come up because it's not the fall, it's the bounce that counts. Just like when you learn to ride a bicycle. Of course you had to fall to ride a bike, but you got back up. When you walk, you're going to fall. When you're learning to walk as a little toddler, it's all a part of life. Falling is a part of life as an adult as well. We will try things new and we will fall down, but don't stay down. Get up again. It's not the fall. It's the bounce that counts. Yes, sometimes we're going to make mistakes. You can't make advances in life without trying and making mistakes, but don't let the mistakes discourage you. Realize the pain you feel is only there to propel you. It is power that you can harness. It's not the fall, it's the bounce that counts. So it was with me when I was a freshman. When I was a sophomore and I worked hard and diligently and I used pain as power, and it propelled me to success, such that at the end of the sophomore year, I sat in an auditorium, and again, I heard names being announced. Renard Edding. I was happy for Renard again. Denise Brown. I was happy for her too. But this time, I wasn't passed over. I heard my name, Wesley Webster, and I realized that pain was translated successfully into power, and it propelled me to success. Not only did I get the chance to go to Haiti, but later on, I was even sent to France for an entire summer. And a few years later, when I was already a graduate from college, I actually gave the very first sermon I ever gave in Haiti in French. And all of this was because when I was a freshman and I suffered the pain of failure, I was able to translate that pain into power and use it to propel success. So I ask you, my fellow listeners, the next time you fall or fail or get disappointed because you're passed over for some opportunity, what will you do? Will you use that pain as power? I encourage you to do that. It's not the fall, it's the bounce that counts. Use pain power to propel success.
Beautiful. Really beautiful. I wish I would have known that when I was 20 and a freshman in college. So do you still speak French?
Yes, I do. I still speak French. I don't get to practice it as often as I'd like, but my daughter took up similar desires to travel abroad and to speak French fluently, and she currently lives in Rwanda. She works at a village called the Agahozo Shalom Youth Village.
Mm-hmm.
And French is actually the national language in Rwanda. So I had a chance to go visit her in January. I spent 2 weeks there and got a chance to use my French quite a bit while I was there.
Mm. So you think that if you don't use it here, you might lose it? Because there are a lot of people here from Haiti and from a lot of places that do speak French, that you do practice, right?
Yeah, yeah. Every now and again I get a chance, you know. It's definitely harder to keep it up when you don't speak it often. But, yes, I haven't forgotten it after all these years. And still, I really can very much listen to a conversation and understand. It's the speaking often. Sometimes I get tripped up a little bit, especially because I'm trying to learn Hebrew so much that often when I speak French, a few Hebrew words will come out too.
I noticed that happening when I was trying to learn Spanish, and when I didn't know a word, I would throw in Hebrew or French or whatever. Any foreign language will do for this one. But it's really beautiful what you did, because basically we all do go through disappointments, and you call that pain, but it's also disappointment. It's also when things don't go our way, and a lot of people just either will yell and scream, I can't take it, I don't believe it, I worked so hard. And there is a different way. There is a different way to handle it, because there is a disappointment. If Michael Jordan didn't get accepted to begin with, nobody should expect to be accepted on the first round.
Exactly.
Really.
Exactly.
And it really doesn't mean that you're not well, you're not great, you're not anything. It just means that you need to try harder. That's really the lesson.
And sometimes that's exactly what we need to push us to try harder. Maybe if Michael Jordan had gotten accepted the first round, he would never be what he ended up becoming.
Right. He would have been compromised because he wouldn't have had to try as hard. That's a good possibility.
Right.
I mean, I guess we'll never know, but that really is a good possibility. Like, privileged kids have a much harder time excelling at things because they get everything so easily.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. So it doesn't make me feel good that my kids had a hard life, but
yeah.
So how has Toastmasters inspired you?
Well, Toastmasters has inspired me because it's when first of all I didn't really think about joining it or to a point where I was actually going to go find a club until one day at work. It was announced that there was going to be a demo club, and they were going to be starting a club in the office building I worked at, and it was going to be a lunchtime club. So that put the thought in my mind that, wow, I should really go to this demo session. Maybe this is something I could use. When I went to the demo session, the speaker gave a fantastic speech, but the thing that got me most was that he said that everyone can benefit from Toastmasters, regardless of your speaking level. You know, if you're a beginner, you can become a great speaker. And if you're already an advanced speaker, maybe you've already had a lot of skill, you can grow even more. And that made me think that, listen, I know I can join Toastmasters and share what I've learned, and that's certainly part of why I joined. I want to be able to give to other people, use my gifts to help others grow. But I also realized that I could also grow, even though I've had many, many years of public speaking as a pastor, and even after being a pastor, even in synagogues, I've been, you know, a public speaker. But that didn't mean that I couldn't even develop and even enhance my skills. And I think that that's what I've been able to do, especially because mainly in my prior speaking engagements or opportunities, I always spoke with notes. And one of the things, the first things that I learned in Toastmasters was how to speak without notes. And
step up.
And that was a great step up. And then beyond that, just going to the Advanced Public Speakers Club, there are so many talented speakers there. I've learned many, many skills. And as you were at the contest, Mark Williams is just an awesome person to learn other skills from. And all of these speakers that spoke at the contest, they all bring something that can contribute to your skill sets in terms of being able to share with others points of inspiration that can help them. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a great organization that I really also resisted really hard to join. But once I did, I was shocked because it wasn't at all what I expected. But it was really – everybody I talked to that has been through Toastmasters really has a great experience. So I have to ask you something else that's not related to this so much. But I noticed that you didn't get home till 9:30 at night. Do you leave, like, late to work? Do you go to work, like, at 12, 1 o'clock? Is that what it is? Or you actually really work all those hours?
Yeah, I hate to have to say, I'm actually at my desk at 8 in the morning.
Wow.
But it's not that anybody is sort of standing over me saying, oh, you need to be here and you should stay so late. It's just, and I've sort of taken on a new role at work, and I just, you know, maybe I'm an overachiever, who knows, you know. But I put in a lot of effort.
Maybe? I don't think there's a maybe there. All the books that I read about how to be successful, how to organize, one of the things they all always say is go to work a half an hour earlier and leave a half an hour later, meaning not necessarily half hour, a little bit earlier than everybody else, leave a little bit later than everybody else. It seems like you're the poster child for that, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
So what kind of work do you do?
So I work in the financial industry. And I am, so basically I'm on the technology side.
Yeah, and especially when you take on new roles, it's very challenging. And you can probably stay at work 24 hours and still find things to do and improve and work on, I'm sure.
Right. That's, yeah.
Absolutely.
No end. Yeah.
Yeah,
no
absolutely.
End.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your speech. It is beautiful. And I'm looking forward to hearing lots more speeches from you and maybe even some Dvar Torah here and there. It's coming our way. So definitely keep in touch with us, and we'll see what other inspirational moments you can join us with. Would you be willing
to? Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah?
Sure.
Sound good?
Yes. Yep.
Awesome. That's really good. So I really appreciate it. Have a great night.
Thanks,
Tippi. I even appreciate it more knowing that you just came home. So thank you so much.
We've come
to the end of our time together here on Tippi Talk. It has been wonderful chatting here with Wesley Webster or Maria Webster. And thank you so much for joining us once again. But you've been listening to Tippi Talk. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. My name is Tippi Talk.
Don't need a man, you got a phone in your hand, and you can keep it silent, flying high like a bird with your aviators, but your heart is